Oh my gosh.
It's leaving you right now?
You know what? I probably could have blurted it out any other time, but
I'm forgetting it myself now, but I heard it recently. I love those old Oilers teams with Earl Campbell and Dan Pastorini.
Yeah. Earl Campbell and Dan Pastorini, I used to see at Mass every once in a while.
You're kidding.
They went to my parish. If they had a home game, they would come to the Saturday night Mass at St. Vincent de Paul.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
See the things you learn. See the things that sports teaches us, Judy. Well, now you've got a book. You can enjoy this book right over a nice Little Caesars pizza. Good Pope, Bad Pope, Their Lives, Our Lessons. Okay? So congratulations. Right. I'm going to put you on hold, and Jennifer will get your info, okay?
Thanks a lot.
All right. No problem. All right. We'll be back in a minute. We'll talk to Chelsea Zimmerman. And we'll talk about Blessed John Paul II, soon to be St. John Paul II, and his legacy in the culture of life. Your Catholic station, Real Life Radio, 1380, 94.9 FM.
I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston.
Tuesday afternoon, this is Real Life Radio. Clouds and sunshine mixed through the rest of today, and we do have a slight chance in the listening area of an isolated shower around with a high of 69. For tonight, our skies will be mostly clear with a low of around 36. And for tomorrow, patchy frost will be possible early in the day, sunny skies for the afternoon with a high near 61. This is your listener-supported Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Here's a Catholic calendar update on Real Life Radio. Considering a return to an active practice of the faith, come to St. Andrew Catholic Church's Parish Hall for Catholics Returning Home on Thursday, April 24th at 7 p.m. This informal gathering is for anyone who's been away from the Catholic Church, has questions about the Catholic faith, or may be thinking about returning to the Church. A review of the beliefs of Catholicism will be conducted by members of the parish with the goal of creating a closer relationship with God. Call 734-4270 for information. And that's a Catholic calendar update brought to you by Wine Styles on the corner of Moore Drive and Nicholasville Road. Find your style.
I am Wita Michael, chef and owner of Kentucky Proud Restaurants, Holly Hill Inn, Wallace Station, Windy Corner, Smithtown Seafood, and Midway School Bakery. We make all of our food from scratch using as many ingredients from Kentucky farms as possible. Our mission is hospitality and a memorable meal, no matter what the occasion. Our new spring lunch season starts April 4th at Holly Hill Inn. Enjoy the beauty of spring in Midway. Call 846-4732 for reservations or check out our menu at hollyhillinn.com.
Losing a loved one can be tough, not just from an emotional standpoint, but it can also be expensive. Thank goodness there's Bluegrass Monument. Bluegrass Monument is family-owned and operated. They can save you hundreds, and in some cases, thousands of dollars on the cost of your memorial. So whenever you're ready, give them a call, 859-967-4870. John 1010 members get a 20% discount. They'll meet with you in your home, or you can visit the showroom at 246 Plaza Drive in Lexington. Losing a loved one can be expensive, but a lasting tribute to them should not be. Visit bluegrassmonuments.net.
Chrysler on Nicholasville is the fastest growing Dodge Jeep Chrysler store in the Midwest. And now Chrysler on Nicholasville has a special offer only for John 1010 Club members. For only $15.90, they'll change the oil in your car, check your front end alignment, give you a full brake inspection, check your air pressure, top off your fluids, and you can wait for your vehicle comfortably in their lounge, or they'll give you a ride to work while they perform the service. All for only $15.90, only from Chrysler on Nicholasville, and only for John 1010 Club members.
This is Ashley Gann with Sweet Blessings, a nonprofit ministry that creates unforgettable birthday cakes for children living in poverty or with a life-threatening illness. We invite you to the Great Cake Race, 5K and 1 mile. It's the perfect race for serious runners or casual walkers. Besides, what other race in Lexington gives you free ice cream and cake when you cross the finish line? The event is May 4th at 4 o'clock at Keeneland's Keene Barn. You can go to www.sweetblessingscakes.org to register.
Is your HVAC system not doing what you want it to? Keep it simple. Call the King's Helper, 233-1970. Clogged drains or plumbing leaks? Keep it simple. Call the King's Helper, 233-1970. Do you have electrical repairs or service changes? Keep it simple. Call the King's Helper, 233-1970. Plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and electrical, it's just that simple. Call the King's Helper, 233-1970. That's 233-1970.
Good afternoon, Real Life Radio listeners. This is Jennifer with your traffic, brought to you by Kentucky Alarm Systems. Learn more at kyalarm.com. Injury collision reported on inbound Cape Creek Road at Albany. At least one lane is blocked. Got a traffic tip? Give me a call. 855-949-1380. And that's the traffic on your Catholic station. Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another.
19 minutes past the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show. Happy birthday to Glenn Campbell, 78 years old today. This is maybe my favorite Glenn Campbell song. I'm playing all my bumper music today in his honor. Recently moved into a care facility, suffering from Alzheimer's disease. Glenn Campbell, your voice will live on, no doubt about it. We're blessed to have another great voice on the show today, and that is Chelsea Zimmerman, a regular guest here on the program, and we're coming all the way from Pensacola, Florida, I believe. Welcome in, Chelsea.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you, and just returned from a very special occasion with your family, right?
Yeah, my nephew just got baptized Sunday on Easter. So
what a great day for a baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And if folks want to check out pictures of Chelsea's nephew, they can go to her blog, reflectionsofaparalytic.com, and you'll see lots of eye candy of the little baby, little boy,
yes,
right?
Do frequent cute baby blogging, something I started a few years ago. It felt pro-life, and it was an easy, everybody likes cute baby pictures, so, and I've added several of my nephew over the last couple of months, so.
Well, congratulations, and I know it would be exciting regardless this week because it's the Easter octave and just the highest point in the church's year, but there's going to be something really exciting going on in Rome, the canonization of two saints, both of them popes, John the 23rd, John Paul II, and I put on the show blog a picture of you actually having the opportunity to meet John Paul II, I think back in 2001. I know he has a special place in your heart.
Yes, more like it greet. It lasted a very short time, but I did get a very nice picture out of it. it was kind of a surreal experience at the time, but it was very, very. I do have a very special devotion to him now, probably because of that.
Yeah, how did that meeting come about? How did you have that opportunity?
Well, we found out shortly after my accident, but people in wheelchairs, if you go to the general audiences, people in wheelchairs pretty much, I think you have to get a special ticket still, but, I mean, they actually didn't really even look at my ticket. I just came in a wheelchair, and they directed me to this special section, and if you're handicapped or if you're newlyweds, you go automatically get to go up and greet the Pope after the general audience. So so we took a trip to Rome shortly after my accident in order to do that. So, and actually, on that trip, my entire family actually got an opportunity to greet the Pope at two different times.
Wow, how beautiful. And, certainly when you talk about John Paul the Great, there's so many different things that you can talk about. But we're going to talk specifically today about his impact on building a culture of life, which was really at the heart of his papacy, and also his legacy, both in his word and in his witness, in terms of suffering and his advocacy for life in all of and the issue of bioethics, which I know is an important one to you. So so let's talk about it just a little bit. You have a great article that I posted a link to from Catholic, I believe it was Catholic Lane, one of the blogs that you write for. And one of the things you mentioned early is his experience growing up in Poland in a very dehumanizing culture, both under the Nazis, I guess, and later the communists. What influence do you think that had in terms of really shaping his reflections on the human person?
Well, I mean, it had to have a huge impact, I would think. I mean, he saw firsthand what happens when, you know, a society or culture dehumanizes people. And so he saw, you know, what he saw the horror that a culture that does not value all human life produces. And I mean, that whole, I think everybody can agree that what happened at that time was just a nightmare that nobody wants to experience ever again. And, you know, that's where it started, with the dehumanization of human beings. And so it had to have had a tremendous impact on him. And when he started seeing what our culture was doing, you know, he really, I think, had to have had that in the back of his mind, at least, you know, when he was talking about abortion and the things that have been happening, euthanasia, you know, the whole thing with Terri Schiavo, which happened towards the end of his own life, that I know he even spoke on, you know, he interjected sort of in that situation. I think, you know, he saw similarities. Mm-hmm. He had to, I mean, you know, we see it, and so I'm sure he did, and so that had to have had a tremendous impact on his outlook.
Yeah, one of the things I was thinking about today, it's interesting because it's almost as if, you know, with the Nazis who were in, you know, mm-hmm. who after their invasion and occupancy, and then mm-hmm. them being driven out by the communists, you almost have the twin mm-hmm. sort of sins against the human person. One, the idea that someone who is less than perfect, right? You know, that less mm-hmm. than the ideal in the Nazi, whatever,
yes.
however they defined it, was a life not worth living, and kind of the way mm-hmm. we see suffering in that light. But then with the communists, it was the person viewed through a utilitarian lens. You know, how could
right.
they benefit the larger mm-hmm. machinery of the state? And I mean, you write so eloquently against both of those mm-hmm. things, with the human trafficking, against utilitarianism, mm-hmm. and then just the dignity of suffering. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting, no wonder he's so dear to you.
Right. Well, and, you know, and he, I have often said, and I think he even realized, I think he wrote about it, you know, he wrote part of, he wrote about this in Evangelium Vitae, that, you know, a lot of the decisions that go against life arise from from difficult or even tragic situations of suffering. And what I've said in a lot of my writings is that, you know, a lot of the one of the supporting pillars of the culture of death is this desire to avoid or alleviate suffering, and just a inability to meaningfully connect with suffering. And that's true in terms of euthanasia, but also in, you know, with abortion, a woman doesn't want the burden of an unwanted pregnancy, with embryonic stem cell research and using human embryos as science experiments. You know, people don't want, sick people want cures for what ails them, and then obviously they want to be put out of their misery altogether. And so it's this inability to connect with human suffering. And I think in terms of his example that he gave to everyone, I think that was one of the greatest sort of legacies he gave us, which we saw at the end of his life, even years before he died. You know, we could tell his health was deteriorating, and he still showed up. You know, he still tried to be, struggled to be in front of the faithful and to not let, not let that hold him back.
Yeah, it's almost as if one of the things you've said is that, you know, it's not just through his written word, which of course he was very mm-hmm. prolific, but through the witness
right.
of his very person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, And, you know, like I said, especially in the way he sort of, he embraced his humanity with all its hardships and imperfections. And there's this really, this image that I always strikes me of him at the, I don't know if it was for an Angelus or what it was at his window, just struggling to even speak, you know, and he could barely speak, but he wanted to be in front of the faithful. And even in that, even when his health was at its worst, and that's important for a society that wants to, you know, again, turn these people away or encourage people in their suffering to end their suffering, you know, to get it all over with and just end it all when suffering's at its worst. And he was a very good example for that, especially.
Yeah, it's almost, you know, people have kind of tried to compare, you know, the end of his papacy with, in life, with the end of Benedict's, you know, who stepped down mm-hmm. willingly and resigned. And really, mm-hmm. they were two different men in two different contexts, really. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I think John Paul II, there was something important he was trying to say and felt he needed
right.
to say in the midst mm-hmm. of his Parkinson's, whereas Pope Benedict yes. took a different approach, I think each appropriate mm-hmm. for their particular
well,
state in life.
In many ways, I think both of them were kind of embracing their, like I said, their humanity and their limitations. And, you know, John Paul, they just did it in different ways. Benedict stepped down, you know, and just recognized when he could no longer, you know, perform at the level he should be able to or wanted to. And, you know, John Paul II had a message to send us, staying as long as he did. You know, that human beings are limited, and we need to embrace this limitation. As much as we want to cure diseases and disabilities and things that those are good things, we also have to remember that at the end of the day, we are limited.
Yes.
And that goes along with one of the threats that's becoming more prominent now, the threat of transhumanism and trying to transcend our humanity and even possibly evading death at some point, you know. The science is progressing, and there are people that are trying to push that agenda that we can overcome our limitations ultimately to the point where maybe death will no longer be a reality.
Well, Chelsea, if you can hold that thought, we're going to have to go to break. When we come back, we're going to pick this back up here with Chelsea Zimmerman. Check out her blog, reflectionsofaparalytic.com, or her work with Catholic Lane. We'll be back on the other side of the break talking about soon-to-be St. John Paul II and his impact on building a culture of life, bioethics, and really the way we see the human person. We'll be back in just a minute. Your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk.
With your Real Life Radio news in a minute, I'm Joe Lerza. The UK College of Fine Arts' first ever class of musical theater students will close the season with a musical parable of family and prophetic dreams. Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat will capture audiences with sensational music and a larger-than-life cast April 25th through the 27th at the Lexington Opera House. The Copper Thieves have been quiet lately, mostly due to new state laws that make it very difficult to return copper for cash. But this week, police discovered the thieves were hard at it, stealing copper wiring out of lampposts on I-75. Transportation officials are telling scrapyards to be on the lookout for large amounts of copper coming in. The lights on I-75 are back up and working. That's your news in a minute, brought to you by KWipeOver.com on your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Good Tuesday afternoon from your listener-supported Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM. Partly cloudy skies for the rest of today with a very slight chance of an isolated shower around. We'll have a high of 69. For tonight, skies will be mostly clear with a low getting down to the middle 30s. And for tomorrow, patchy frost possible early in the morning, otherwise sunny skies for the afternoon with a high of 63. This is Real Life Radio.
Here's a Catholic calendar update on Real Life Radio. Teresa McReynolds, a parishioner of St. Paul's in Lexington, will be the keynote speaker at the Magnificat Breakfast to be held at St. Paul's School Auditorium on Saturday, May 10th from 9 to noon. After losing a child in a tragic accident, Teresa will tell her story of how her faith has been sustained through some of the worst obstacles in her life. Mass will also be at 8 a.m. that day. For information and cost, call Sue at 224-4908. And that's a Catholic Calendar update brought to you by Wine Styles on the corner of Moore Drive and Nicholasville Road. Find your style.
We all struggle at times, experiencing challenges along the journey of life. Sometimes we just need a little help along the way. I'm Dan Pugel of Journey Counseling. I provide counseling from a biblical perspective and cover a broad range of issues that families, couples, and individuals face. You can learn more at journeycounseling.net. John 1010 members receive a free 30-minute consultation when you call Journey Counseling. Call Journey Counseling, 858-0104, 858-0104. You can learn more at journeycounseling.net.
Mark your calendars for an 8-day pilgrimage to Ireland, especially for young adults ages 18 to 40 and campus ministry of the Diocese of Lexington, July 22nd through the 29th of 2014. We'll explore Bunratty Castle, tour the Cliffs of Moher, see the apparition site of Our Lady of Knock, and enjoy an optional musical pub crawl with two Irish musicians. For tour registration and deposits, contact Faith Journeys at 877-732-4845. That's 877-732-4845. To download flyers and brochures, go to www.cdlex.org/youth. Then hit the Young Adult Ministry tab and hit the Pilgrimages tab on the left-hand column. Come to Ireland with the Diocese of Lexington, all young adults ages 18 to 40. For questions, call Faith Journeys, 877-732-4845 and ask for group number 14026.
Good afternoon, Real Life Radio listeners. This is Jennifer with your traffic brought to you by Kentucky Alarm Systems. Learn more at kyalarm.com. Currently in Lexington, we've got no delays reported due to collisions. Got a traffic tip? Give me a call, 855-949-1380. And that's your traffic on your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Where hustle's the name of the game, and nice guys get washed away like the snow and the rain. There's been a load of compromising on the road to my horizon, but I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me like a rhinestone.
Welcome back into the Mike Allen Show. Happy birthday, Glenn Campbell. Going through a tough time, stricken with Alzheimer's. His 78th birthday today. Happy birthday, Glenn. And going to bring on back on, who's been waiting patiently, Chelsea Zimmerman, regular guest on the program. Chelsea down in Pensacola, Florida, who is probably not old enough to remember Glenn Campbell, but I won't hold that against her. Chelsea, thanks for holding on.
No problem.
Yeah, Glenn, a little bit before your time, I guess.
I listen to a lot of old country, but his is not one that I've gotten into personally. But
well, you need to check it again. Really good, and maybe a good culture of life issue. You know, with him with having Alzheimer's. So I'm trying to make any connection I can.
I see that
you've got this excellent article from Catholic Lane that you wrote a couple years ago. Very fortuitous that you wrote this in anticipation of this show this week, talking about John Paul II, who will be canonized, St. John Paul the Great, this Sunday. And you make the point that, you know, that the Holy Father, and he points this out in Evangelium Vitae, that the worth of the human being really is revealed profoundly in the Incarnation. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, he says that, like in Vatican II, you know, Christ fully reveals man to himself and makes his supreme calling clear. And, you know, by his incarnation, Christ really intimately united himself to the entire human race and just showed us the incomparable value of every human person. That God became man, you know, that he elected to take on our human nature and become like us in all things. But sin, and he chose to begin his life on earth as the weakest and most defenseless among us, as an unborn child. And so, you know, we see through this event, that the splendor of all human life, you know, including the unborn child and the unformed embryo, and just, the incredible impact, what that means, you know, God becoming man. I think sometimes we either take it for granted or we don't really, you know, fully internalize what that means, and just how God united himself to us to, you know, that we meant that much, that we mean that much to him, that he would unite himself to us in such a way.
You also quote the Evangelium Vitae again, in which the Holy Father said, it is an illusion to think we can build a true culture of human life if we do not accept and experience sexuality and love in the whole of life according to their true meaning and in their close interconnection. And certainly in his writing, of course, The Theology of the Body, his 129 addresses, he talked a lot about that interconnection between not only human life, but what it means that we as human beings were made embodied in two different ways, as male and female. And I know you've spent some of that. Of course, it's hard to sum up the theology of the body, but your experience in terms of your own growth and identity and understanding his teaching there.
Right. Well, I mean, I like to say it's hard to have respect for human life if you don't have respect for the act through which human life is created. When we're disrespecting, our sexuality and the way human life is created, that's what has led to the devaluation of human life itself. You know, sex is nothing more than a recreational activity. It's been divorced from the act of procreation, and so when procreation happens miraculously out of this, this event that's supposed to be, you know, this interaction between human beings is, you know, our culture is made meaningless at this point, then all of a sudden it's like, what do we do with that human life? What does that human life mean? And, you know, it's led to the devaluation of that life. And so we have to have, that's why, you know, contraception and abortion go hand in hand. Some people see that, some people don't. Some people don't understand, you know, why if you are against abortion, you should be in favor of contraception. Well, you know, contraception is, it was the, what was that? Our acceptance and the widespread use of contraception came before abortion.
Mm.
And that's not exactly a coincidence.
Mm. Yeah, it shuts us off from the gift of life and teaches us to reject what is really the fruit of authentic love, which is life-giving.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, and so in the theology of the body, it's way more than that. You know, it's way more than just, you know, about sex and marriage, but that is definitely a very important part of it, and a very important message that for our culture today. And he wrote even more than that. He wrote quite a bit. His Love and Responsibility is just a very deep and frank discussion on, you know, just Catholic sexual ethics, and, you know, recognizing, you know, where our culture was going, even at, you know, back then at that early time. He wrote that before he was Pope.
You know, obviously. A lot of people hear the term culture of life and they don't instinctively know that really we trace that from John Paul II. And and one of the things I don't think I was aware of that you had written in a note to me is that he founded a pontifical academy for life that continues to persevere.
Yeah, I think that was one of the, you know, forward-thinking kind of things that he did. and they do a lot of things. You know, they stay on top of these issues, basically. You know, I think a couple years ago, I remember reading about Pope Benedict speaking at a the Pontifical Academy for Life met in Rome a few years ago to discuss, you know, treatment and impact of infertility and just how the Catholic Church responds to these, you know, because the reproductive technology is a huge thing right now. And, you know, taking the creation of human life out of the womb and into the lab. And, you know, how does the Catholic Church respond to, you know, compassionately to the people who are infertile, and how do they, and what are we doing to address those issues? And these academies, like the Pontifical Academy for Life, are staying on top of these important issues. And there was another one. What was the other one I was telling you about? The Pontifical Council for Culture, which he really grew out of the Second Vatican Council, but John Paul II ultimately founded that. And they were the ones who were part of the international adult stem cell conference.
Wow.
And trying to find, you know, ethical alternatives. The Vatican's on top of these things. And John Paul II had a lot to do with kind of getting, you know, getting the ball rolling on that, getting these councils started to address these issues and just staying on top of them. And it's really important that the church is very forward thinking, and, you know, it's this technology, these technologies are growing fast.
Hmm.
And it's hard for, you know, most of us to keep up with it. But the church is, and I think that's very important. And I think he had a lot to do with that.
Well, and you're, Chelsea, a great daughter of the church and a daughter of John Paul II. And it's great to see you keeping that legacy alive as well by you staying on top of these things and keeping us informed, because you do an excellent job of that. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to encourage people to check out your blog again, reflectionsofaparalytic.com. She is Chelsea Zimmerman. Chelsea, blessings to you and to your newly baptized nephew. And soon we'll be able to say St. John Paul II. Pray for us.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
All right. Blessings and take care.
Thanks. Blessings to you, too.
All right. Bye-bye. We'll be back in just a minute with Steve Tressler, our sports director and sales director, your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Good Tuesday afternoon. This is Real Life Radio. Clouds and sunshine mixed through the rest of today. We do have a slight chance in the listening area of an isolated shower around with a high of 69. For tonight, our skies will be mostly clear with a low of around 36. And for tomorrow, patchy frost will be possible early in the day. Sunny skies for the afternoon with a high near 61. This is your listener-supported Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Here's a Catholic calendar update on Real Life Radio. Christ the King's American Heritage Girl Troop is sponsoring a mother-daughter event on Saturday, April 26th at 6:15 p.m. in Heman Hall. This evening includes a showing of VeggieTales, The Princess and the Pop Star. And since everyone is a princess in this kingdom, you're encouraged to wear your tiara. Admission is free, but reservations are suggested by emailing ahgky0356@yahoo.com. And that's a Catholic calendar update brought to you by Wine Styles on the corner of Moore Drive and Nicholasville Road. Find your style.
Hello, Real Life Radio listeners. This is Jared Cornelius, General Manager, Johnny Carino's Fayette Mall. And I want to invite all of you to come share a meal with us. Whether it's our homemade 12-layer lasagna smothered in meat sauce and melted cheese, or our Carino's